You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Bockham as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, thank you for joining us. This is Lee Bockham, and we're here to talk about the ways that you can continue to work to save and improve your marriage. Now, today might be one of those sessions that kind of hits a few bells and gets a few negative comments towards me, but you'll have to decide. The reason I say that is because I start this conversation with a bit of trepidation. Sometimes I'll say some things that I think pushes some buttons, and sometimes those buttons don't need to be pushed. Other times they do need to be pushed, and you're the only one who can decide whether that's the case, whether I am speaking to you or if you're at a different place. Because today I want to talk about a phrase that I hear very often from people when they're working to save their marriage, and that is, I can't. I often hear people say, I can't continue to do this. I can't save my marriage. I can't connect with my spouse. I can't do those things you tell me to do. And what I've realized is that I can't is really, I won't. Now, let me be clear about that. There are times when there are some things you cannot do. But I know that many times the I can't is really, I won't. Because it pushes against something from us. And so we often find ourselves in a pattern of saying, I can't, I can't, I can't, without ever trying to decide if that's true or not. So today, my challenge to start with is to ask the question, is it I can't or is it I won't? And if it's I won't, can we do something about that? There's a couple of different parts to this, and one is the fact that I can't often betrays the fact that we have a mindset that limits us. We have a basic set point, and this is true throughout our lives, that we have many things that we believe we cannot do, when in actuality, there are really places where we realize that we just won't when we step back and think about it. And then we have a choice to make. Because if I'm right, if you're talking about something that you feel like is an I can't and it's really an I won't, then you might be able to do something about it. You might be able to push through that and find a way of doing exactly where you feel limited. Now, if you're wondering where this is coming from, as you know, from my model, there are three C's of how you save your marriage. Now, my wife will tell you I've fallen in love with the letter C because I have a couple of other places where C, the letter C, comes into effect. But the C's I'm talking about here are connecting with your spouse, changing yourself, and creating a new path. Those are the three C's that I'm focusing on in this process. And today we're talking about that changing yourself. But we're also talking about how it's about connecting and how it's about creating that new path. Because this place of stuckness, if you're stuck in an I won't, but you keep saying it as an I can't, it can hang you up on changing yourself. It can keep you from connecting with your spouse, and it will keep you from creating a new path. If you say, you know, there's just nowhere for our marriage to go, I can't do that, then you've bumped up against the place where you're changing yourself. Your self-development piece of this is stopping you. It's keeping you from moving forward. The idea of a set point is nothing new. We all know that we have that. I've done enough consulting with businesses to know that there are several revenue points that feel like barriers to a company. And the first one is at $1 million in revenue. And the next one is at that $5 million, and then $10 million, and then $100 million. And businesses find that they get very close to that next revenue point, and then they get stuck. Not because they can't make it through it, but because their mindset limits them. They feel like, oh, I'm in a company that can't do more than $1 million, that can't do more than $5 million, that can't do more than $10 million. I talked with a serial entrepreneur a few months back, and I was talking to him about several different businesses that I had connections with, mine being one of them. And he said, you know, the thing is, you have to get to that place where you cross the 1 million mark. And what I've realized is if I can cross 1 million, that business could be a 3 million. And if you hit 3 million, you'll find out that that business can easily be a 10 million. What he was saying was, we have to get through the next barrier to see that there are new possibilities. If you'd asked me 11 years ago, what would I be doing right now? I would not be telling you I would be sitting here doing a podcast. In fact, I'd probably be saying, I can't do that. But I remember having conversations with mentors and coaches along the way where I would check it out and I would say, you know, is this possible? Can I do that? And what was nice was I always found a place that somebody said, sure, you can do that. Let's talk about how. But my original spot was often, I can't, until a coach would say, you can, and here's how. It infiltrates our mind and leaves us seeing a barrier where sometimes there's not really a barrier. Let's take a very historic example, the 4-minute mile. For a long time, it was believed that humans could not run a mile in less than 4 minutes. And so people would stay just above the 4-minute mile mark. And so that lasted forever until someone along the way was able to say, I can do that. And the interesting thing is this. Once that person ran and broke the 4-minute mile, many others followed. And suddenly the 4-minute mile barrier ended, not because equipment changed and not because 4 minutes changed and not because a mile became less, but the mindset behind it, that set point, was no longer in place. Suddenly somebody realized you could get beyond that. And so we all carry around with us a set point. Studies show that our income is an average of the 5 people that we spend the most time with. Because there's a mindset to that. There's a set point to that. There's a stuck point. But when people realize that they can go beyond that, let's say even an income level, suddenly it opens up new horizons and new possibilities. So we have to be very mindful of the fact that sometimes when we say, I can't, it's because of a mindset, a set point that we have adopted. There's another place that we often find ourselves stuck in the I can't when it's really an I want, and that's out of fear. It's out of fear that we don't know what to do if we move beyond that. You see, fear acts like a friend to us. I can't connect with my spouse is sometimes a way that fear keeps us from trying to do that, so then we don't have to go through the pain. What if they don't connect with me? What if they don't return my advances? What if they don't respond in the way I want them to? So the what ifs, those fears, keep us from even stepping out and trying. Fear pretends to protect us, but really it limits us. Our fears contract us. Whenever we're responding out of our fears, we become smaller. We live a smaller life. We live a reduced place. Now, fears are always about those short-term pieces, right? It's not about the long-term that fear looks at, but fear pries on our short-term fears. That's the place that it finds its traction. I'm afraid I'm going to get rejected when I say this. It outweighs the I'm afraid of where this relationship is going. I want you to just think about that for a minute. When people are working to save a marriage or wanting to save a marriage, they're thinking long term. How can I get through this life with a marriage that I would enjoy, I would treasure, a relationship that would mean something? I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get that, begins the process, but then I'm afraid if I do this action. Sometimes I'll say to somebody, hey, you know what, here's what I want you to try. I want you to do this, and I'll give them exactly what to say and exactly what to do. And they're met with the very reason I'm talking with you today. They say, oh, I can't do that. And I'll say, why can't you do that? Well, because my spouse will respond in a certain way. Okay, I can't means it's not possible. That's different than I won't, which is I refuse to do that. So sometimes I would say, hey, you know, why don't you write an apology letter? Taking responsibility for what role you played in a relationship. I talk about this in the Save the Marriage system. So we'll talk about how to do that, and they go, oh, I can't do that. And I'll say, why can't you? I can't do that, they'll tell me. And I'll ask them, do you know the roles you played in your relationship? Can you tell me the things that maybe you didn't do the way you wanted to? Maybe you'd want to do differently? And they can name off lots of ways that they would have preferred they would have acted. They can name off lots of different places they might have perhaps responded a little bit differently. Okay, you've got that piece. So why can't you write the letter? Oh, I can't write it. And I'll say, do you know how to pick up a pen and write on a piece of paper? Yes. Okay. You know how to write a letter. You know what you would say. And so the I can't is an I won't. Why won't you? And then we get into the fears. What if my spouse doesn't read it? Well, then it's no problem. If they don't read it, then you haven't lost anything. What if my spouse reads it and still doesn't do anything? Well, you're at a no different place than you are right now, which is stuck. What if my spouse reads it and then blames me for everything? Well, then you've got to make sure that you're clear about what you're apologizing for, number one. And number two, remember, they're already doing that. It's already in their mindset because we all do that. We all find fault with the other person. So there's nothing that's changed there. And slowly over time, we start chasing down fear after fear that's limiting them and keeping them from breaking through that next set point, that barrier. And one of those barriers is it okay to have a good relationship? Is it okay to take a risk and move into a more fulfilling, more loving relationship? Notice the contraction of staying safe. I can't share my emotions with my spouse. When your mind tells you things like that, it limits you and keeps you playing small. It keeps you from your long term. It keeps you from moving forward in any useful way. So, I can't is almost always an I won't. There are times when it's true you can't do something, but almost always it's an I won't. And so we have to test it. And there are a couple of ways you can test it. The first is to say, why not? When you hear yourself saying, I can't do this, ask yourself this, why not? Why can't I do that? Years ago, I worked to retrain myself because I would find myself constantly saying, oh, I can't do this. I can't write a book. I can't get on the internet. I can't do a website. I can't do interactions with people. I can't do those things. And one day I decided I had to change it and ask the question, how can I do those things? How could I write a book? I found a way. How could I create videos? I found a way. How could I create a website? I found a way. When I changed the question, when I changed the statement to a question, my statement was, I can't do that. So I had to change it to, how can I do that? Followed up with, who do I need to become in order to do that? Oh, now we're back to how do we change ourselves? Who do I need to become in order to be the person who can connect with my spouse? That is a question that will get you thinking about what pieces do you need to work on. So let me suggest that when you have yourself asking or saying that, I can't, have yourself responding in a couple of ways. First, why not? Sometimes that's enough. I can't connect with my spouse. Why not? Because they might reject me. Because I don't know how to get to them. Okay, then the question is, how can I connect with my spouse? Who do I need to become in order to connect with my spouse? How can I connect with my spouse? Well, there are lots of ways. I talked often about the one-way communications that can start a pattern. Let's say that your spouse has disconnected and there's not much communication going on. You say, oh, I can't communicate with my spouse. How can I connect with my spouse? I would say, let's start with one-way texts. A one-way text, if you're not familiar with that, is when you send a text that does not require a response from the other person. It's not required, and in fact, it's not even expected. Imagine sending a text that simply said, hey, I was thinking about you, hoping you're doing okay. Notice, there's no question mark in there. There's no response needed. There's no request for a response. Can you do that? There are some times when you can't. For instance, let's say that there is a restraining order in place, right? The court says you cannot communicate with this person. Okay, then you're being honest when you say, I can't communicate with my spouse. But other than that, can you do that? Can you simply say, hey, was thinking about you, hoping you were doing okay? That even works if a couple is still communicating in other ways. Hey, was thinking about you, hoping your morning is going well. Hey, was thinking about you, hoping that meeting went well. Hey, was thinking about you, hoping your day went well. All of those are ways of letting the other person know that you're thinking about them, that they're on your mind. That's a way of beginning that connection. So when people say, I can't connect with my spouse, why? Because they don't want to connect with me. That's okay. There are other ways of building in that connection. A one-way text, a one-way email. Hey, I saw this link. I thought you might like it. Hey, I saw this page. I thought you might like it. Hey, I saw this article. I thought you might like it. That lets them know you're thinking about them. Or that crazy old-fashioned one-way note. You know, the one where you mail it, where you go to the store, maybe pick up a card, or you write something down on a note card and you send it to them. That's connecting, and it is the ultimate one-way communication because it would take so much effort for the other person to respond. They don't feel the need to, but they know that you're thinking about them and caring for them, and that's part of rebuilding connection that might not have been there for a long time. So when you find yourself saying, I can't, and then you say, why not, begin to test your answer. And change it to, how can I do these things? Who do I need to become in order to do those things? Remember, the difference between not able and not willing is sometimes being willing to step out of your comfort zone. So that the not willing becomes, I am willing. I'm not able leaves you paralyzed. So many times in my career of working with people, part of my task is getting them unstuck because they are at a place of saying, I'm not able to do this. I can't take care of myself. I can't beat the depression. I'm not able to work with the anxiety. I can't connect with my spouse. I can't find a job I like. Those are phrases of being not able. And in all of those, I would say there's at least a part that is not willing. There are always things that are within your control that you can take on and say, how can I do these things? How can I get out of my comfort zone? How can I change my basic structure to challenge myself, to step into something new, to try something different? Sometimes we get stuck in a mindset, that set point in that mindset, that we automatically say, I can't do this. When it's either I won't do this or you haven't thought about the fact that you could do that. Sometimes I can't keeps us from even trying. Sometimes I can't lets us off the hook. It gives us the excuse. It gives us the reason to say, see, I knew this wasn't going to work. I just can't do this. So as you hear yourself repeating those words, I can't, and by the way, if you hear yourself saying that, welcome to the human race, and if you don't hear yourself saying that, you better listen a little closer because we all say, I can't. We all limit ourselves. We all play small. We all do nothing that helps us by that playing small. When we constrict ourselves, we play on a smaller field with a smaller life. What we fail to realize is that when we look around almost always for everything that somebody says, I can't, somebody else has proven that you can. Somebody else has demonstrated that even with that exact same set of circumstances, you can do something. Now, ultimately, and this is the disclaimer, ultimately in saving a marriage, the other spouse has to enlist in the process. So you can say, I can't save my marriage, and I would say, ultimately, you're correct that you can't do it by yourself. But I would say that you can begin the process by yourself. You can do some things that would begin to set a stage to move it forward. You can challenge yourself to figure out where are the places that you still do have control. You have control over how you act, how you respond, how you react. All of those are within your capacity. You can control how you're going to reach out to a spouse. You can control whether you're going to let the fear convince you on how you're going to act, or whether you see beyond that to a bigger picture, to something that you want to take on, to something you want to really show up for, to really bring yourself into and live a larger life, not a more constricted life. Remember, fear is always about constricting us. Fear is not your friend. Fear just pretends to be your friend. Fear is looking for the short term of avoiding pain, even at the cost of long-term satisfaction, long-term accomplishment, long-term getting exactly what you want. That's how our brain works. And the question is, are we going to live within the bounds that it sets automatically? Or are we going to challenge that on a daily basis to say, how big can I live? How much more fulfilling can life be? How much more satisfying can our relationship be if I take a risk? If I just risk reaching out? If I step away from I can't and realize that I can't is at least for that moment, I won't. And once you get to the place of realizing it's an I won't, then there's room for change. Then there's room to say, why can't I? To see, to test, to reality check. And if you can really sit down and say, why can't I? And you come up with reasons that make it impossible for you to do. Okay. But if you get to the place where you realize that it's really a won't, I won't do that, then ask yourself, how can I do that? And maybe an even more important question, who do I need to become in order to do that? How do I need to change myself? How do I need to address what keeps me stuck, what keeps me in my comfort zone, what keeps me at my set point? Simply asking those questions can give you a new opening. Because how can I has nothing to do with fear. It has everything to do about options and possibility. It has everything to do with growth. It has everything to do with expansion. And that's why it's such a powerful place to be. How can I and who do I need to become? Expand your life, allows you to bust through that set point, allows you to get beyond your mindset that limits you to see new possibilities open up. But only when you realize that your I can'ts are most likely I won'ts, and you decide not to live within the I won'ts. I hope I've challenged you. I hope I've made you think a bit, not just at a place that may make you dismiss, because on a daily basis, I work to say, how can I? Why? Because I still have places where my mind tells me I can't. And I know deep inside that I won't is the truth. And I can't live, using that word, I can't live with that. So then I have to ask, how can I and who do I need to become to get to that next place. I invite you to join me in that, to continue to do that, to find new ways of expanding your life. I also invite you to let me know what you think about what I just said. You might disagree with me completely. I would love to know that. You might agree with me completely. You might want to tell me how that's happened in your own life. Let me invite you to leave a message on the blog about that, to let me know what you think. Let me invite you to start a conversation in the comments section about where you think you might be limited, how you're going to move it from I can't to I can and I will, because you've escaped the I won't. Let me know that in the comments section in the blog. Now, let me tell you just a few ways that you can also let me know how we can be helpful. There are several ways that you can let us know that. One way is to email me at podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast, P-O-D-C-A-S-T, @savethemarriage.com. That's a way of letting us know some other topics that you might want to hear about on the podcast. That comes to me, and then I filter through those. Now, this is not a place to request me to help you with your specific situation. That's not the idea behind the podcast. It is a place to say, hey, I would like to hear more about this topic. That would be a great way of letting us know that. Or you can leave a voicemail. And if you want to leave a voicemail, the number is 4HELP44132. That's 4HELP44132. Or if you don't want to look up those letters, it's 443-574-4132. That's 443-574-4132. And if you want to find some more information on how to work on your marriage, you can find that at my blog. That's SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. That'll take you right to it. That's SaveTheMarriageBlog.com. And those are ways that you can communicate back too, because there's a comment section under each of the podcasts, and there are lots of articles and podcasts available in that blog. So go there. Let us know what you think. Let us know in the comments section. The comments is a way of having a conversation. I do read each one. I do look for ideas, and I do respond to the comments. So please let me know what you thought. Remember to email any ideas to podcast@savethemarriage.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 443-574-4132. Know that we're here working with this podcast to help you save the marriage. And until next time, I wish you the best.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.